God knows about your house, and He knows what is not clean. He knows what you have hidden. He knows what you have secreted. He knows what is there. And He wants a clean place.
Amen.
And God knows if your house is a clean place. I mean, look, man, we lived in a farmhouse, and it had an old wooden floor. The only time it looked clean was when it was scrubbed. I mean, the moment it was wet, it looked clean. 5 seconds after it was dry, it looked dirty again. And I see my wife down her hands and knees scrubbing that floor, because that's the way she was. Now I want you to know there's never been any of that kind of stuff secret, any of that foul stuff secret in our homes. People, I mean, get you a wood burner, throw it away.
Amen.
Burn that trash. You may never get caught, but you can't hide it and have God not know about it.
Amen.
Our homes should be clean. There should be something about our homes that when somebody comes in, they notice. There's no profanity. There's no fits. There's no screaming. It's a different place. It ought to be a different place.
Yeah,
now look, I know you're human. I know that everybody has arguments. I'm telling you, there ought not to be fits of temper. There ought not to be uncleanness.
Mm-hmm.
There ought not to be, well, I just slipped. Quit slipping.
Yeah, amen.
Quit slipping. People, our homes ought to be clean. God is looking for a clean place. You know what it said? Look here. Look at Genesis chapter 35. You want to clean your house up? Genesis chapter 35, verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, the house of God, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, unto the God that appeared unto thee, when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Jacob wanted that crowd cleaned up. He wanted them clean. He wanted their houses clean. Now I'm going to say this. Get upset if you want. Could your house be clean if I were to walk in it every single day and tell a dirty story? Could it? No. No. Then how can it be clean to have teeth? I'm sorry. You would not let me come to your house as an invited guest and tell a dirty story to your family. You would not let me use foul language. You would not let me use off-color illustrations. You would not let me do that. Because you'd say, I don't like that kind of thing in my house. And you know what I'd say to you if I tried that? I don't do that. But if I tried that, you stop me. You know what I'd say? I'd say, you mean you don't want me to come in here and do it for nothing. But you'll pay $500 for some queer to do it in your room.
Yeah.
Somebody who you would pride yourself in barring from ever coming through your front door. You will pay to have them come in and train your children words, teach your children words you don't know what your children learn.
Uh-huh.
People, how can your home be clean if you've got a TV in it? There is nothing about that TV that cleans your home. Oh, don't give me this stuff about I listen to Christian TV. Ain't no Christian TV. Useless a bunch of crooks. I don't care if you get one good Christian program. Does that justify? Listen, what I tell people about television, I do not believe it's a sin to have a TV. If I believed it was a sin to have a TV, I would preach that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a dirty thing. Mm-hmm. I tell this about TV. Number one, television does not have your family's best interest in mind. And nothing about that TV is going to make your family holy. Now, I believe that there are some families that the only time they would get down on their knees is to justify doing it. I do believe that. But when's the last time, right in the middle of those things, you heard something you didn't want to hear?
Yeah.
You ever just get down before you watch it and say, now God bless everything we're going to see? I bet you can't.
No. No. No.
Amen. Uh-oh. People, it's filthy. It has not got your family's best interest in mind. You have to remember something. When you hear a foul word, look, when you're out there and some guy bumps his head in the workplace and he takes a foul word, that happened. If that very same scene like that appears in the movie, it did not happen spontaneously. It was written down. It was practiced.
Yeah.
And it was put there with malice aforethought. You hear them say something you don't want your children to hear. You say, oh man, I wish they would say that. Don't you understand that somebody sat down in Hollywood or New York and said, I want their children to hear this?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you how they want your kids. Hollywood wants her children to be homosexual. That's what they want.
Right.
That's what they promote. Hollywood wants your children to be godless. I expect them to.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, man, they have an enemy, right? Well, why would we invite him in? Like I said, you won't let me tell your family a dirty joke for nothing, but you'll spend $500 for some queer. Maybe you need to put the old God on. Somebody said, somebody preacher said you shut him down for a week before this meeting.
Yeah.
Well, let's take him suckers out and shoot him.
Yeah.
He's, oh, well, they'll just see TV at somebody else's house. If all the TV they see at somebody else's house, they'll see enough.
Well, that's right. That's for sure, brother. That's good.
We have never had a television set, and my kids know what's on. They know what's on. They know about, they know movie stars by name. They know sports figures by name. I said, where'd you hear about them? Oh, I saw that so-and-so's house. Look, I cannot stop them at every point in their life. But I guarantee you, I've caught them a couple times. Well, I can't say I've caught them a couple times. One time I know, though, that they've watched something they have better sense than to watch, and they know not to. The people, I'm telling you, you know what Jacob said? He said, get rid of the false gods.
Yeah, I did.
And he said, change your clothes. Get something clean on. He said, I want you to be clean. God needs a clean place.
Amen.
You know what it says in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 14? It said, when you sit down to eat, you ought to sit down to eat a clean place. It's good to eat a clean place. We were at somebody's house one time, and my wife and the pastor's wife would sneak into the kitchen and wash the silverware and then bring it out to the table. You say, was it washed? Yeah, it was washed, but it wasn't clean. Now look, man, I want my meal. I don't want the last guy's meal on the fork. And there's something wrong. I mean, I understand you. But and look, I think I'm not against dishwashers. Man, put that. But you know what happens is a lot of times I think it's got 4 days of food on there, and then they throw in the dishwasher, and all it does is kind of wash the outside cover off of the food that's still there. You're going to have to scrub it at some time, right? Someplace you've got, it's going to have to be touched by human hands. I've been in homes, brother, where the dishes weren't clean and the cups weren't clean and the surroundings were not clean. So what they did when they sat down to eat, they sat down. He said, I want you to sit down and eat in a clean place.
Amen.
I want it to be clean. Clean is not expensive. Clean is not necessarily a beautiful linen tablecloth and an expensive oak table and a beautiful round steak. It doesn't have to be on silver and china. It's not clean. You can have all that stuff and still be dirty. Clean is just some soap and some water.
Yes.
Clean is some time. Clean is some work. But your home ought to be clean physically and ought to be clean spiritually. You have to go and take a look at your house. Listen, what is in your home that is not clean? And I'm telling you again, listen, Jesus Christ does not have to be searching it while you're here. He knew what was already there. And somebody may say to him, okay, why don't you go by there and see? He says, I don't go to a place ain't clean. Mm-hmm. I don't go to a place ain't clean. Oh, come on, man. Those are good Christian folk here. See, I know what you don't know. And I'm not going to that house.
Yeah.
I don't want a house. I don't want a trailer that's got something hidden in there that's dirt makes it dirty.
Yeah.
And the floors can be clean. And the walls can be clean. And the dishes can be clean. But there's something spiritual about that household that's dirty. God knows it.
Amen.
And he wants a clean place. Then you know what you find out? You find out when you got a clean man and you got a clean place, somebody else gets clean. Look what it says in verse 19. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day. And on the seventh day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean at ease. Numbers chapter 19, verse 19. You know what it tells you? It tells you that clean man is going to take those ashes, he's going to sprinkle them on the third day and the seventh day on the unclean person. It says on the seventh day that unclean person is going to what? Seventh day, he's going to purify himself, he's going to wash his clothes and bathe himself, and he's going to be clean. Somebody who was unclean has the opportunity to be clean only if there's somebody clean to minister to them. Uh-huh. Did you get that?
Yeah.
I believe a lot of the powerless, I can't say powerless preaching. I can choose some guys who preach good. They're good preachers. Liars. It is not my job to get anybody out of ministry. It is not my job to say somebody's not called. I don't try to get people out of ministry. I don't try to get people out of ministry. I don't even think they belong in there because they just might belong there. I don't try to get people into the ministry because I don't want to get somebody in that God did not call.
But I'm telling you that there's some people, and I've heard them talk about, oh man, great preacher, you get this too. And I personally don't like it. Thief. Cold and calculated. Dishonest. Flirtatious. People not clean. You know, many of our congregations have no hope of ever getting clean because the guy that's supposed to clean them is not clean. You know what it said there in verse 19? It said that unclean man, you know what he needed? Before he was to take that bath and change his clothes, none of it mattered, on the third day and the seventh day. Huh. Kind of like Sunday night and Wednesday night. I mean, Sunday night and Wednesday night, you get cleaned up. You had to have a clean man sprinkle those ashes on him. And then he washed himself and he washed his clothes and then he was clean. You know who he was? He's somebody that used to be dirty. You know, all through the Bible it talks about opportunities to be clean. Look at Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. If you're a Bible reader, you'll know what Leviticus 13 is. Leviticus 13 is one of those most unpopular of chapters. Leprosy. In my household, we'll be reading along our Bibles, and somebody will say, well, tomorrow I get leprosy. That means tomorrow we've got to read Leviticus chapter 13. Say, what could be worse? Leviticus chapter 14. 13 is about you getting leprosy, and 14 is about your house getting leprosy. I mean, this is just real deep stuff. What does it say in chapter 13? Verse 6, the priest shall look on him again the seventh day. What happens is you got a guy who's got a sore, he's got a rising, he's got a shining spot. I don't think you ever thought about it. When you read this, you know what you'll find in this chapter? You'll find leprosy. You know what else you'll find? Cold sore. You ever get a cold sore?
Yeah.
How does it start? Shiny? Rising? Does it look like a white spot? Guys that got cold sore got shut up for 7 days because somebody prayed they had leprosy. And at the end of 7 days, that's what it says here. Oh, it's not leprosy, it's a scab. It was a cold sore. And he was clean. But here's what it says. So this guy's been locked up for 7 days. Verse 6, and the priest shall look on him again the seventh day. Behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. This guy was unclean, but he got to be clean. Verse 17. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. Verse 23. But if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning boil. And the priest shall pronounce him clean. You know, all through the Bible it talks about the opportunity of a dirty person, of someone who is unclean, becoming clean. Verse 58. And the garment, whether wart or wool, I don't know. Polyester or rayon, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is I put wart and wool in the same washing machine, same 20 cents, same dryer for the nuclear. Anyway, I have the garment with a warp or wolf or whatever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash. If the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time and shall be clean. God wants those things clean. He makes opportunities to be clean. Say, what does it take to be clean? Tell you what it takes. It takes blood. Luke chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 6. Challenge of verse 5. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed. They take two birds. One of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it in cedar wood and the scarlet and hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean. And shall let the living bird loose into the open field. You know who was? This man was unclean. Before he was pronounced clean, you know what it took? It took blood. It took blood to get him clean. Everybody I'm looking at right now has been saved. You know how you got clean? It was blood. It was blood. It was not soap. It was not soap. It was not bleach. It was not lye soap. It was not, you know, body lotion. It was not shampoo. You know what got you clean? It was blood. And it was perfect blood. And I'm talking to a bunch of folks that were unclean. And you know what made you clean? Blood. You know what, God, all through this Bible, time again, all through this Bible, it gives a person who is unclean the opportunity to be clean. What else do you find? Look where they got cleaned up. Verse 11. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean in those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You know where this guy got clean? He got cleaned out the church. That's where I got clean. How many of you got saved in church? Let me see a hand. Well, you got cleaned up. You got cleaned up a good place that day, didn't you? You got cleaned up the tabernacle. You got cleaned up. You know where the tabernacle was? That's where God was. You are not going to get clean. All this stuff up. Well, I can be with God when I'm out there fishing and hunting. Oh, no, no, no. You ain't going to get clean there, pal. You are not going to get clean there. You're not going to get clean on somebody's tape ministry. You're not going to get clean watching some guy on TV. You know where you're going to get clean? You're going to get clean down here.
Amen.
This is where you're going to get clean. You know what you do? You come to a church that is what? A clean place. You hear a clean man. You get the blood applied. You come unclean. You get the blood applied. You go out clean. Good deal.
Amen.
Because once you're clean, not only are you clean, but you're in position to be used. Because he uses a clean man. Look what it said in Numbers chapter 31. Numbers chapter 31. Before you have fellowship with Israel, you had to be clean. Numbers chapter 31. Verse 24. Talks about a man who is dirty. It says, he shall wash his clothes on the seventh day, and he shall be clean, and afterward he shall come into the camp. You know what's cursing our Christianity? Let people who are unclean in. There's a lot of uncleanness. There's a lot of unjudged sin. I'm not into this bust fellowship and break fellowship over all this stuff. I'll tell you, there's some people who have done wrong. I'm talking about outright sin, and it is not judged. Mm-hmm. Now, my best sin ain't for me to judge. Your sin, if you do wrong outwardly where it is exposed, it's up to him to take care of it. It's not up to me. It's up to your pastor. It's up to your pastor to take care of you being disciplined and reestablished in the church. And I believe that discipline without the chance to be reestablished is death.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to punish the guy and there's no way to get right, then just kill him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's always an opportunity to be clean. But some folks don't ever deal with getting people who are dirty out. You let somebody in who is dirty. You let somebody in who has a problem. I don't know what that spiritual problem may be. But when you've got somebody that's got an unconfessed sin, a sin that everybody knows about, and you say, well, we're trying to reach them here. I don't want to reach them. I don't want to reach them. Somebody asked me, they said, I was talking about queers. You say, why do you say queer? Because that's what you called them before the press told you to call them gay.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's what you called them. Sisters. Well, they'll always say sodomite. Oh, yeah. Because that's a Bible word. Yeah, you say rapture, don't you? I spoke by a word. Did you ever say millennium? Have you ever said Trinity? We better stop that because those aren't Bible words either. Listen, you never thought saying queer was bad until Dan Rather told you it was bad, CNN told you it was bad, made you get a conviction about it. You ain't got a conviction about that from God. You're in a conviction about that from your TV set.
Oh,
why? Because that's a bunch of queers.
Yeah.
They want you under conviction over that. And this lady said, well, are homosexuals welcome in the church? I said, if they get saved and forsake that sin, of course. But if you think I've done some fruit in a church that I knew was queer, well, he's trying to overcome it. He better overcome it.
Yeah.
I had a guy tell me one time, he said, well, where is their sin any worse than yours? I said, you can trust me to teach third grade boys Sunday school class.
Amen.
There's a difference.
Amen.
There are some preachers across the country who are filthy. They are not clean. There are other preachers who know about it. Nobody does anything about it. People, you don't get fellowship in the camp until you are clean. That's what it said. It said, at the seventh day, you washed your clothes, you bathed yourself, and afterward you came into the camp. You don't have fellowship in the camp until you're clean. Hey, they were allowed to. When Israel got up and moved, they could move along with Israel. But they never came in the camp until they were clean. Numbers chapter 19. Verse 19, the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day. And on the seventh day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean at even. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation. Because he defiled the sanctuary of the Lord, the water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. Someone who does not get right in their sin is unclean. They are to be cut off from the congregation. That's all there is to it. Our congregations are tainted. Because, I am not talking, I know when you say this kind of thing, you say, no, you're not a sinner. Of course I'm a sinner, you stupid idiot. I'm as much a sinner as you are. But you're going to tell me there's not a difference? You're telling me there's not a difference between somebody, some of you who are sitting here and you're living as holy a life as you can and you confess your sin, and there's some other guy here putting his hands all over little kids, and you're going to welcome him into your church? We put a man out of our church when I was pastoring. You know what he did? He'd walk through the hall of the church. And if he'd gone past a woman, rather than say, excuse me, he'd put his hands on her hips and say, oh, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Tell you something. There's a man in this church has any business putting his hands on anybody's head but his wife's.
Right.
And at that, not in church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if someone's going to put their hands on my wife's hips, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be bloody quick. I was in church one time. Now, we were visiting. We had an open Sunday. We were walking out of this place, and the preacher is kissing everyone that goes out. And I just told my wife, I said, he kisses you? I said, he goes to kiss you. I'm deafening. I would have. You said, you hit a preacher. I'd hit that sucker, man. Listen, I'd make him a design on the church wall. I said, that's just a holy kiss. That's a hell of a kiss.
Yeah.
That guy has got a foul, obscene, perverted, pornographic mind, and is using Jesus Christ in the Bible as an opportunity to kiss a bunch of women out of his wife.
Yeah, amen.
You know what he needs to do? He needs to be thrown out.
Amen.
Say, can he come back? Sure. Just get clean.
Yeah.
As soon as he gets clean, he can. We threw that guy out because he's touching women in our church and asked for him to run off with. We threw him out.
Yeah.
You know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. He went 30 miles up the road, and he joined another church.
Yeah.
You know what he told that pastor? You know what he told that pastor? Well, that Ruckmanite down there, blah, blah, blah. The pastor said, yeah, that guy with the PBI, that Ruckman crowd, blah, 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 and left this guy in. And a year later, that pastor called me. He said, what can you tell me about Brother So-and-so? I said, well, I can tell you that he put his hands on women in the church. I told him about the experience I just told you. I told him about him trying to get some woman to run off with him. I said, why do you ask? He said, well, we just caught him the other day in bed with one of our deacon's wives. And I said, well, preacher, if you'd have called me, if you'd have made this phone call a year ago, you'd save yourself a lot of grief. See, the man came into the camp, but he was still unclean. That book says, you're unclean, you're cut off. See, this is supposed to be a clean place. Don't dirty it up.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say this. This is as awful as I can say. Everybody says, no, you go to the beach, All you do is lust after those women. I'm going to tell you to go to the beach. I'm telling you, you can lust after somebody wearing a burlap bag, singing a special in church.
Yeah.
Let's keep the place clean.
Amen.
Let's keep it clean. The bars aren't clean, folks.
No.
Go downtown. I mean, no restaurants. I don't care if they are physically clean, but it's not a spiritual place. There. Where, if you show me, if this place right here is not to be spiritually clean, Brother Rick Reed works in an operating room. He don't want to do those operations in a garage. They make a place that is special for it, and they clean it up as much as they can.
Amen. That's good.
And if that place isn't going to be clean enough, where are you going to do it?
Amen.
And if you do them someplace else dirty, you're going to pay the consequences.
That's right. Amen.
Where? Where? If not here, show me the clean place where the church can come together and not have to be assaulted and not have to argue and not have to be filled with hatred and not have to have malice and not have to have guile. Show me the place where we can come together and it can just be clean.
Amen.
And that's what this is. It's a sanctuary. God needs a clean man. And he needs a clean place.
Amen.
And if you've got the clean man and you've got the clean place, he's provided the blood. You know what you do? The clean man and the blood and the clean place makes another clean man.
Amen.
And that clean man brings somebody else to the clean place and makes him clean. And then that clean man brings somebody else. I'm telling you, God wants a clean man. Are you clean? Stand your heads back. Your secret sins may go to the grave with you a secret. Maybe nobody will ever find out about it. But the question tonight is, are you clean? God wants a clean man. Are you clean? God wants a clean place. Have you defiled this church by coming in here tonight? Is your home clean? Let only you know the answer to these questions. I know that you're just like I am. I know that you're described in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? I know that. You make all the excuses you want. You point all the fingers you want. You can stand like granite. All I'm telling you is, God wants a clean man. And he knows who's clean. He wants a clean place. He knows where those places are. You can't argue him into coming into your home. You can't say that you've got some right that he show up. If it's clean, he'll be there. You can't drag him into this church. People, I've often said that if we're having a meeting like this, if God drove by this church in a car and never pulled in and never so much as looked this direction, all he would be doing is showing his holiness. If God said, I don't want to go in there and fellowship with you guys, it would make sense. Why would he want to come in here? But what if we could make it clean? What if we could make it nice and clean? What if we could clean ourselves up? You wouldn't have to tell me. Man, you walk in a house, you lay down those sheets. I pillowed my head and I said, Kathy, you washed the sheets today, didn't you? She said, yeah. She didn't have to tell me. I could smell it. I'm telling you, you clean this house up. Physically, spiritually, you clean this house up. You clean yourself up. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to turn God's head. He's going to say, oh, I can smell it. It's clean. Father, heathenism is dirty. It's not just vile. It's not just filthy dirty. It's not just off-color dirty or pornographically dirty. It is just dirty. Dirty in every way. And you want clean. Which means our very nature is opposed to you. God, here we are. From a dirty past. From a dirty culture. And you have made us clean. Now, God, the question is, who here is really clean enough for you to use? God, they can carry their secrets to the grave, and maybe you or no one else will ever find out. No, you'll never tell us about it. But you still know about it, and you'll not use somebody who's not clean. And you'll not venture into this church if it's not clean. And you'll not visit these homes if they're not clean. And if there's no one here clean, God, Open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 19. You ever go to a restaurant and it was not clean? We went to a restaurant one time and we ordered our food. We were waiting and Kathy picked up her fork and she looked at the underside of it, which was really a mistake. She goes, "Oh, look at this." I said, "Man, look, the last guy had AIDS." She said, "I'm going to tell about this." I said, "No." I said, "There's so much on this fork that charges for another meal." And it was one of those restaurants where we play what we call try to pick up the salt shaker. You ever one of those where you just grab the salt shaker and you feel it slide up through your hands and try to pick it up? And that was one of our children in a high chair, and the high chair did not have a safety strap for it, but you didn't need it. Because the kid stuck to it. And if you set your arm on the table, when you picked it up, it just kind of peeled off, you know. It's not overly clean. It's not real. It's not real clean. You've been around some person that was not clean. I mean, had not been clean for quite a while, and they stink. You ever been dirty? It's good to be clean, you know. Clean is nice. Clean is good.
Amen.
And God puts a premium on clean. And I'm going to look, we're going to look tonight at a message I just entitled, God Likes Clean. I don't know if I mentioned it yet, probably did. I just say it again, that one of the hallmarks of paganism is dirt. I mean, pagans are dirty. And I don't mean black pagans. I don't mean Indian pagans. I don't mean Chinese pagans. I don't mean white pagans. I mean all heathen are dirty. It does not matter race. It does not matter anything about you, man. The pagans are dirty. Mm-hmm. You go to where it's a heathen country and you're going to find a lot of dirt. You're going to find people who don't clean themselves, don't clean their houses, don't clean their food. I was talking to a guy one time and he said he went downtown in this country where he was at and he had to buy some meat. And he said he's walking up the meat market and that's where they just kind of hung it out in public. And he said there was this black thing hanging from this guy's meat market, and when he walked up and he went to touch it, all the flies went, "This is a piece of meat." But it was covered with flies. And when he saw it was black, it was all them flies on that piece of meat. Man, I mean, you know, it just doesn't make you want to eat much.
Not for sure.
And here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that where the gospel really takes hold, people get clean. And look at the priority. Now, it's talking here about the this is the a passage on people getting clean. And it says this about the red heifer, but it says this in verse 9. "And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin." Let's bow our heads. Let's talk to God. Father, it's good to be saved, God, tonight. God, you know what? Though we don't even think about it, it's good to be clean.
Thank God.
Father, every person in this room that took a shower, took a bath today, Father, we take it for granted how easy it is. And Lord, thank you that we could be clean, that we don't have to stink, that our homes don't have to be dirty. Thank you, God, for delivering us from paganism. I ask you now, God, please be in this service and speak to the hearts of every individual here. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, here's the way this thing went. This ashes of this red heifer, this heifer was taken out, it was burnt, and then the ashes were taken and they were set aside, and these ashes were, when something had to be purified, to be cleaned from sin, those ashes were mixed with water, and then they would take that, mixture of ashes and water and sprinkle it for purification. I'm trying to remember this from memory, but if I remember right, what they would do is when they were just about out of those ashes, they would take another heifer, another red heifer that had all these qualifications. They'd take the hyssop, the blood, everything else, they'd throw it, they'd burn it, and they'd mix those ashes with the ashes of the original red heifer. And to this day, this is what they're looking for. They're looking for a remainder. Those ashes were then split into three vials, or three vases, and which gives them breaks up to thirds the chance to find them. Instead of looking for one, they only got to find is one of three. But all they got to do is find one jar of those ashes before they can cleanse everything for temple worship. All right, before they reinstitute the temple, Before they go in, they've got to cleanse it. They need these ashes. And so if they can find so much as a cupful, all they got to do is burn another red heifer, mix it all together, and actually in that vial or that vase that has the ashes of however many heifers are, if I'm not mistaken, the source I was reading, I think they've had 6 heifers so far throughout the centuries, or maybe 7. And all they got to do is burn another one, and literally in that vial or in that vase could still be some of the ashes from this original heifer. You know, all of that was no good if there was no clean man. It said, verse 9, and a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer. Then I know this. I know that God wants a clean man. And if you're here, you want to serve God, can we get this idea that God wants talent? Man, look, I was talking to a young pastor not long ago, and he was telling me about some guy. You know, he said, oh, this guy's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of ability. He's got so much potential. I said, don't ever be taken up with somebody's potential.
Yeah.
Don't ever be taken back or get excited about somebody's potential, man. Potential means nothing. Potential means nothing. Potential is starving to death with $1 million in a shoebox under your bed. That's what potential is. People, I'm telling you tonight, you know, you see somebody say, oh man, that guy's got the ability to sing, this guy's got this kind of ability, this guy's a great speaker, and you see all these things of potential. I'll tell you something, it don't mean a thing. You don't know it. The guy may have a lot of talent, he may have a lot of ability, but if he's not clean, God doesn't want it. God wants a clean man.
Amen.
So what do you mean by that? I mean, you ought to be clean. You ought to be clean. You ought to be clean inside. In our heart, we've got little chambers, and in some of those chambers, we kind of keep secret little things that we covet as our own. We kind of cultivate them. We may get rid of this, get rid of that. Yet we keep a little part of all ourselves. People, listen, if you want God to use you, you need to be clean. And there may be that no one will ever catch you. Maybe no one will ever find out about your dirt. But listen, man, God knows, doesn't he? Certainly God knows, and God is not going to use you if you are unclean. I think you need to be clean spiritually. Now, you're washed with the blood. That's why I recommend to people that you ought to get washed with the blood in the morning and washed with the blood in the evening.
Yeah.
I mean, before you go to bed, you ought to make sure, actually, I think you ought to do it before 6 o'clock. All right? But I think you ought to confess your sins, make sure that they're clean, because the day ends at 6 a.m. or 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that book says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Do you ever stop and think about this? All right, if you sin a sin and never confess it, you're going to be paid for it, be punished for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how long do you have to confess it? I mean, if you committed a sin, how long? You know, what if you just say, okay, now I'm asking you to forgive me? I mean, at what point are you going to have to catch something? My personal guess is, I think you got till sundown. That book said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. It did not say don't go to bed mad. Nobody goes to bed at sundown. Even farmers don't do that anymore. All right? But before the sun goes down, I think you ought to get yourself clean in the morning when you get up. I think you ought to get yourself clean. I think you ought to confess your sins in the morning. You ought to confess your sins in the evening. You know what that is? That cleans you.
Yeah.
See, you will never be clean by nature until we get on the other side. So the only thing we have to keep ourselves clean is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be clean in ourselves.
Amen.
God wants to use a clean man. Of all the things they had here, look, here were the ashes, and here was everything that was taken that was needed for the offering and for the sin, for the purification of sin. But it was useless if they didn't have a clean man. Listen, God needed somebody that was clean that could put his hands on those ashes and take them out to a clean place. And if there's nobody clean, the ashes would have stayed there. You want God to use it, you're going to have to be clean. Look, somebody can tell you how to preach and alliterate your message so that all the points start with H or B, or give you all the cute and funny stories and the tear-jerking illustrations, and none of that stuff means anything. There are men that are traversing this country and this world, and they are preaching, and they may be getting some folks saved. And God is not using them because they are not clean.
Mm-hmm.
They are not clean. You sit down with some of those guys and they start talking. When they start talking, you know what you can tell? You can tell that their mouth is not clean. You know what that book says? That book says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if they got a problem with their mouth, they got a problem with their heart.
Uh-huh.
And they are not clean. And I don't care how many they can write up that we had 10 gazillion people saved just yesterday, and God has used my ministry. Listen, you must, hey man, a drunk can lead somebody to Christ.
Yeah, amen.
My goodness, man, I know a lost man that used to lead people to Christ. You can do that and be lost. It's the book that does regeneration. It's a book. It is the word that people hear. People, you want God to use you, you need to be clean.
Amen.
And the only thing you can do is get clean on a regular basis. Let me say this. I know I'm talking about spiritual cleanliness. It don't hurt to be physically clean. You can be poor. You may have an excuse for being poor. You got no excuse for being dirty.
Yeah, amen.
There's no excuse for stinking. Soap ain't that much. I had a guy in my church, this guy must have thought that taking a bath was a sin. And if taking a bath was a sin, this man was sinless. He said, oh, what could be worse? He loved to hug his preacher. Say, what could be worse? I'd puke right down his back. Which added nothing or detracted nothing from this man's smell. He stunk. You know why? He was dirty. Mm-hmm. Now look, I'm not telling you, look, I know a guy goes out and works, you're going to get dirt under your fingernails, you're going to get paint on your hands, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, you can have paint on your hands and still be clean.
Yes, sir.
You take and you scrub yourself up the best you can. People, we need to be clean.
Yeah.
You know what I see in our society? I see a bent toward getting dirty again.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're promoted with doctors. Anytime the world wants to promote something stupid, they just go out and get a doctor because the doctor says everybody thinks it's all right. Excuse me, doctor. I heard a doctor say this one time. He said it is healthier to be dirty than to be clean. Not a man tells you that. You know what you know? You know they'll be in a room with a mattress on the wall, I said earlier, with just a slot under the door where they can slide his food in on a stainless steel tray with no knife and no fork.
Yeah.
He is simply nuts. What is anybody doing giving public airtime?
Yeah. Sure.
And he said, it's healthier to be dirty than to be clean. And this guy says, ooh, what is that? Instead of saying, hey, get off my program, you idiot. Okay? And he said two reasons. He said the first one is, he said, by being dirty, you get more germs on you, and so you get to be immune to them. If you wash off all the time, then you won't grow immune to the germs. I think this guy in my church, I think there was nothing on earth he could catch. If that theory is true, this man will live forever. There is anything, every germ known to man has got a colony somewhere on this guy's body, all right? And then this guy said this. Now, think about this, because some stupid American heard this guy say it and took it like it was the gospel. This guy said it. And furthermore, people who are dirty are warmer in the winter. And, of course, you know, his fellow mouth breather, the guy doing the interview, went, what is that? And he said, because when you're dirty, you don't wash off, when you don't wash a lot, you have a layer of dead cells.
No doubt.
And those are insulating you from temperature. Hey, come on, pal. I mean, if I can't go without a coat in the winter, it don't matter. One layer of dead cells is going to insulate you. That's crazy. You say, why they say that? I'll tell you why they say it. Because they want this country to be dirty.
Yes, sir.
They want this country to be dirty. We're raising a generation that's dirty. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm no Pharisee, but I'm telling you, you need to wash your hands. You need to wash your body. You need to wash your clothes. You need to wash your homes. You need that. We need to be clean.
Yeah, amen.
We are getting diseases like we've never had in this country. A lot of it is just simply we are not clean. You know what God wants? God wants a clean man. It said there, a clean man will take this. And if there was no man clean, there were those ashes were not going to go out. People, God needs a clean man.
Amen.
You ought to be clean physically. You ought to be clean spiritually. Hey, God provided for your spiritual cleansing. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ain't got the price of a bar soap, if you really haven't, you see me after church, I'll take care of your physical cleansing. I was in a church. This happened, man. I was in this church, and the pastor and I were there before church. Nobody had shown up yet. The preacher walked over to a bunch of empty pews, and he had a can of air freshener. There's nobody in this room. And he starts spraying down this section of pews. I mean, it looked like an Agent Orange attack, man. I mean, you know, flies are having to get out and walk, and they're just so saturated. I said, preacher, what are you doing? He said, you'll see. See was not the word. This man had a family in his church that when they came in the church, if your back was turned to them, you knew it. I mean, they stunk. They were dirty. I mean, the whole family was dirty. I mean, mom was dirty, dad was dirty. I'm talking about physically dirty. The guy had black lines of dirt in every crease and crack in his hands just from not washing. I said, preacher, did you ever talk to him about it? He said, oh, yeah. He had a son there, 20 years old, big kid. He said, you know, 20 year old? I said, yeah. He said, I bought him soap. I bought him shampoo. I bought him deodorant. I bought him cologne. He said, I told him how to shower up and clean himself up. I said, well, what happened? He said, he come to church the next Sunday and said, hey, preacher, that soap smells fine. I said, you'll be glad the soap couldn't talk. You'd think he was in soap hell, man. You know, with all those people, they're dirty. They're dirty. That preacher, you know what that preacher did? That preacher did double duty. He tried to get those people clean spiritually. He tried to get those people clean physically. And he was willing to buy the soap and buy the shampoo and buy the deodorant and buy the cologne. And I'm telling you, look, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood so you can be clean spiritually. And I'll tell you, I ain't got a lot of money here, but I got enough money before I pay for my van. I've got enough money to buy you bar soap and some shampoo and some deodorant and some cologne so that you can be physically clean. People, God wants a clean man. God likes things clean.
Amen.
Look what it says in verse 9. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. Then God not only wants a clean man, God wants a clean place. Say, where's a good clean place? I'll tell you, two places ought to be clean. The church ought to be clean. Church ought to be clean. Again, when I say clean, I think of physical and I think of spiritual. I think a church ought to be clean. I don't think a church ought to look like a warehouse. I don't think a church ought to be dirty. I don't think a church ought to have cobwebs. Now, this can sound, like I said, this can sound as Pharisaical as you like. And I'm not saying yours is dirty by any means, all right? But I'm telling you that somebody ought to go through a church. Hey, you know, there's just something good about the smell of soap.
Yeah.
There's just something good when you walk into a room and you smell Murphy's oil soap or Lysol or bleach. Brother, that's good. I mean, it's clean. Your church ought to be clean.
Amen.
And I'm not saying this. I haven't seen a thing in your church that God is saying is dirty. But I'm just telling you, if it's dirty, you know it.
Yeah.
And when it's dirty, it needs to be cleaned up. I've been in places that have dinner on the ground like you had Sunday, and the stuff stayed in the garbage can all week. I mean, they had to take it out. The garbage man came and whistled, and they crawled up themselves. Ought not to be that way. I've seen places where the windows were dirty. I mean, I've gotten on churches, man, where everything in the church was dirty. I get on them for it. People, your church ought to be clean physically.
Amen.
And you can do it.
Amen.
I mean, get over here when your place looks good. The walls look good. They're painted up. They look good. Your ceiling looks good. But when something needs fixed up, you fix it up. When something needs cleaned, you clean it. And don't always walk away saying, not my job.
Yeah.
Well, once you make it your job.
Amen.
If it needs put. I have cleaned toilets and sinks in churches where I preach. I've done it. You say, why? Because nobody in the place did. I mean, I've gone to the bathroom, brother, where you just see the germs waiting on the walls for you to walk by so they could leap out there and help you be healthy by growing on you. Anyway, your church ought to be physically clean.
Amen.
Your church ought to be spiritually clean. There's not a place for off-color thing. Actually, no place is a good place for off-color things.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good place for hatred.
Yeah.
This is not a good place for backbiting.
Right.
It ought to be a clean place. You know what? We say auditorium, and I like the word sanctuary. I really like the word sanctuary for where we preach.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a sanctuary is? It's a place where you can get away from everything.
Yeah.
Well, what's an auditorium? If you went to high school, what did you do? You had football rallies in auditorium.
Yeah.
Right? Why do we call this an auditorium? It's even gone so far where they start calling this a stage.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that it's not a platform anymore. I don't know what you want to call it, but people, listen, this is a sanctuary.
Yeah.
And it'll be someplace, hey, you know the world is dirty. You listen to music, you just go try to find some decent music. You remember when FM was good?
Yeah.
And AM was bad? Now they're both equally bad.
Yeah.
FM is all rock and AM is all talk. And it's all filth. You know what you need? You can come in someplace where you won't hear dirty jokes. You won't hear God's name taken in vain. This ought to be a clean place.
Amen. That's good, brother.
You bring somebody's little kid in here. You know what they ought to know? They ought to know when they come in here, they'll be loved. They'll be cared for. They're going to be taken care of. They're not going to be molested by a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah.
It ought to be a clean place. Man, I mean, I've been in churches where literally mothers and daughters were physically fighting in the pews and pulled each other's hair out. I don't belong in church, folks. I don't belong in church. I don't know if you've got a family argument, but I'll tell you something. It don't belong in church.
Amen.
That dirties the place up.
Yeah.
This is a clean place.
Amen.
You come, you open up the Word of God. You want to get cleaned up. This guy works in the operating room, man. You know what they do? They clean that place up before they bring somebody in.
Amen.
They want to make sure that guy is well. They're going to make sure everything in that room is clean. You want to have something going here to clean people up? You want to make sure the place is clean, both physically and spiritually. God wants a clean place.
Amen.
I'll tell you where else you're going to be clean. You're going to be clean at home.
Yeah.
My mother was a heathen by definition. She's a Romanian Catholic. She was not a Christian. My mother was clean. I grew up. My parents and I were not. I was born 2 years after their last child. Okay. Back in the 50s, they called somebody like me an accident. Today, they'd call them an abortion. All right. In fact, I'm glad they didn't have abortions back then. I might not be here preaching to you. You'd be sitting here looking at this empty wall, saying, "Well, just think what happened if Gip would have been born." But I'll tell you what I did though. I went to bed all my life on clean sheets. You know, mother, now let me speak to you mothers. Your children ought to know what clean sheets smell like.
Sure.
They ought to know what it's like to get into a bed and smell clean sheets and smell a clean pillowcase and pull up, snuggle up with a clean blanket over top of them and go to bed. You say, "Oh, what does that got to do with it?" That's got a lot to do with it. They're not doing that around the world. And I'm not just talking about, the backwoods and the jungle of the primitive. I'm talking about even Western civilization. Hey, man, you go to Italy and France and places over there, they're not clean. They're pagan.
Yeah.
Your kids ought to get up and find their underclothes folded and in a dresser drawer. Not thrown in like somebody just slam dunked it from across the room.
That's right, brother. That's right.
I mean, I've gone past kids' rooms and there's the drawers hanging open and I think the clothes are trying to escape. Looks like they're making a break for it. You're like, "Push the drawer out, push the drawer, okay, climb out and go to the glass." And if they were trying to get away, I think they're trying to make it to the washing machine so they can finally be clean. I'm going past teenage girls' rooms and their mother says, "Oh, you have to excuse her. She's a little clutter." A little clutter? Man, you need a forklift and a front end loader to clean this room up. Better yet, just torch that sucker and leave your daughter in there. It's the only way you'll keep it clean. Ladies, your home's going to be clean. Say, "Don't you think a man don't have some good?" Nah. You know what? Nothing no man ever clean.
No, for sure.
If I washed our dishes, you know what my wife would do? She'd wash our dishes. I did laundry. You know, when I was in Bible college, I did long laundry. That's when washers were 20 cents and a dryer was 10 cents. I did all of my laundry for 30 cents. I put everything in the machine for 20 cents. Now, I still don't see anything about it. I still see nothing wrong. I understand. You know, you mean the colors and the lights? Some colors and lights. I put a puppy in there. If I had it, I mean, it all went in. Say, "What'd you do?" "I put some soap in." "How much?" "I don't know. I put some soap in. It made suds. I was successful." Then I took them all out. I put them in a dryer. I stuck in a dime. I set it on nuclear. I mean, you had to have tongs to unload that sucker, buddy. Anything that did not die in the washer died in the dryer. Supreme and a horrible thing. And then I just threw it in a little basket. And I semi-folded it. Under iron shirt. I must have looked like I slept in my clothes. I wondered about that when, in my second year of Bible college, I was at church one day, and this sweet old lady said, "Come again. Do you mind if I do your laundry?" That's like somebody said, "You mind if I mow your grass? You mind if I pay your bills?" Well, man, I hate to let you. Yeah, sure. I mean, it just must have been awful. The reason I think about that is I was down PBI some time ago, and this young student came up, and he looked just like what I must have looked like. He looked like he had slept in his shirt. There wasn't anything he had that was not wrinkled. And he said, "Pray for me, your wife." I said, "Yeah, pray for your wife before you meet her, man." You don't want anything a man clean up. My goodness, man, he'll lick the spoon clean, dry it here, and throw it in the... Well, it's clean. There's nothing stuck to it. The germs will die eventually. That's a man. Ladies, we men need you.
Yeah, amen.
We need you. You know what has cursed America? What has cursed America is dirty women. Men have always been dirty. And I am not justifying men. I'm telling you, men have always been dirty. But when women became like men, we have hurt.
Yeah.
When you go down and you see some stupid woman holding the sign there, and she's got her muscle shirt and her blue jeans and her work boots on and a tattoo on her arm, brother. I mean, when you see a woman like that, don't you ever just say, oh, I wish my kid's mother looked like that.
Yeah.
I tell my boys, ain't you glad your mother doesn't look like that? I wouldn't you like that? And,
oh, yeah, my mother runs the steam compactor at the asphalt plant.
I don't want that. People, I've bedded down on clean sheets. I've bedded down on clean sheets. Every meal we had it on clean plates. I told you, but Monday was wash day. My mother never in her life owned an automatic washer. She never owned an automatic dryer. She washed with an old two-tub wringer washing machine. She washed all day. She hung it outside. She hung it down in the basement. She hung it any place she could hang it. Our clothes were clean.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see those commercials, you know, where this guy's putting on a shirt, T-shirt or something, he goes, oh, it smells good. I used to think those commercials were stupid. That's what our laundry smells like, though. Have you ever been over there? We live around the country. You'll stay at somebody's house. Have you ever taken a shower and go to dry off with a clean towel that smells sour?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, because I don't do laundry. My guess is they need some bleach. Something stinks. It smells sour. I figure bleach is good. Then put some fabric softener or something. I don't know. Ask my wife what she does, because our towels smell good. They're clean. They're soft.
Amen.
When I put on a T-shirt, it's not only clean, but it's white. Except for two stained areas, but it's mostly white. Anyway, another. But it's clean and it's white and it smells good when I put it on. Okay, I won't vouch for anything after about a day, but when I put it on, it smells good.
That's good.
You know, that's a good feeling for a husband to put on just a T-shirt and know that his wife did just it. Look, if my wife did laundry like I did, I think I'd beat her. I'll tell you, there'd be something wrong. I know how a man does things. You wouldn't want to see me cook. I was telling someone one day, you know what I used to do when I lived by myself? I'd eat, and I'd put the dish in the sink. And then I'd get out another dish, and I'd eat, and I'd put that dish in the sink. Say, where'd you do the dishes? When there's no more in the cabin. You know they've been in there a while when you turn the water on and the roaches go, that's what they would do. They're having a good old time, man. There's partying down there. And then I'd nuke everything, but I believe in heat. I'd nuke it all. And I'd put it all back in and I'd start the series again. That's a stupid man. That's what I say. That's a stupid man. That's the way a stupid man does it. Ain't no woman ought to do it that way.
Amen.
Your house ought to be clean. Your kids ought to have clean clothes. Your children ought to be taught to pick up their room. When I walk into a house, look, there's two things, clean and cluttered. You can be dirty and still be cluttered. You ought not be cluttered. You ought to be clean. You ought to be uncluttered. When I walk past a teenager's room, and I saw him look over to her daughter. I've not walked past the pastor's daughter's room because it said blasting zone. There, and it did say quarantine on the door. But anyway, I did see it clean, though, so I walked. I saw him go in with a couple of shovels today. But if I go past, look, if I walk past a girl's room and she's a teenager and I see the room is cluttered, the bed is not made, my boys make their beds. They make their beds. Before they get out of the room, they make their beds. When I see that woman, you know, a young girl, you know what I say? Bless God, I hope that girl never casts a glance on any of my boys. I don't want my boys to marry somebody that's a lazy bum. Oh, you know she's a lazy bum. Because a lazy bum does nothing. That's exactly what she does in that room, nothing. Doesn't make her bed, doesn't pick it up, doesn't clean it up, doesn't fold up her clothes, doesn't close up the dresser drawers, doesn't hang up her clothes. I mean, I think the girls ought to do it for their brothers, because their brothers are fools. I mean, they're just men, they're... You know, this happened. We live in a trailer. My wife came out of the trailer, out of our bedroom one day, and there were my socks laying on the kitchen table. What dirty socks? Ones I took off last night. And she said, "Sina, why were your socks on the kitchen table?" I said, "Well, that's where I was standing when I took them off." That made sense to me. And before you think that that's unthoughtful, remember this. In a trailer, if the kitchen table's here, the sink's there, I didn't put them in the sink. And she didn't have to bend down to pick them up. I'm very thoughtful. My wife comes out in the morning, I mean, there's her shirt, there's my socks, there's my pants, they're just laying here, that's where it was. We need you ladies. We need you ladies to be clean. America needs clean women.
Amen, brother.
They don't need a bunch of tattooed girls with earrings in their noses hitchhiking across the country. They don't need that. They don't need somebody who can run a steamroller. They don't need someone who can run a drill. They need someone who can run a washing machine and cook a meal and wash a dish.
Amen.
Your homes ought to be clean.
Amen.
But you know, not just physically should your home be clean. Your home should be clean spiritually.
Yes, sir.
If you've got something hidden at your house that is unclean, I'm not even going to tell you Jesus Christ is going to walk in and check it out. I'm telling you, he already knows it's there.
Amen.
You may never get caught, people. But I'll tell you, if you've got a dirty magazine somewhere, if you've got a dirty rock tape somewhere, if you've got something secret, I'm not interested where you've got it. I'm not even interested in what you've got. And I'm not interested in catching you. Why in the world do I have to catch you? I don't have to know about it. God already does.
Amen.
God knows about your house. And